and trusting in Him and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But I want us to look at the selfish life. Now, Jesus gives us a parable here, verse 16. So here's the perception of the selfish life. The Bible says, and He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? So let's pause right there for just a moment, because we notice this selfish heart. And you say, well, how do we know he was selfish? Well, he says, my fruits. Everything was about him. My goods, my barn. You know, it's like a toddler in the nursery. Mine, mine, mine. And it was all about him. Everything was about him. This was his selfishness. And we notice, first of all, in this text, the man's his flourishing deeds. Now, this man was blessed by God. He had plenty. God had met his needs, and God had met even more than his needs. This man wasn't just rich. This man was very rich. He was very wealthy. This man was given plentifully, the Bible says. The thought there is a great bounty. He was given much. And so he's left with a question in his heart. What should I do with all that I have left over? And what was his answer? Was it about giving to others? No, it was about building barns. And so we see not only this man's flourishing deeds, but we see the man's flawed decision in verse 17. He thought within himself, and so he's thinking. He says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make more barns so I have more room for all my fruit and all of the abundance that I have. And I'll tear down the old barns, and I'll build bigger and greater and better barns, and I'll be able to bestow all my fruits and my goods. And this decision that he had was a selfish motivation. It was all about him. He was consumed by the barn. He was consumed by his goods. And here's the key to money and goods and anything material, is that it's never enough. It is just never enough. There's always going to be another dollar. For a multimillionaire, it's the next million. For a billionaire, it's the next billion. But there's always something more to get. There's always something more that they look for. And so he had this barn building disease, where he was consumed by all of these things. And we see that it developed in his heart covetousness. In verse 15, Jesus uses the parable to teach against covetousness. And so Jesus is warning the individual here, all that are listening, he's warning them that greediness sets a terrible direction in your life. It developed a false hope in verse number 19. He says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just build bigger barns and store all of my goods, and then I'll be good for many years. He thought he was set, that he had all that he needed, that he had succeeded, that he had arrived. But it determined a poor purpose in his life. In verse 19, he says, I'll eat, drink, and be merry. You know, when our purpose becomes anything than what we are designed to do and be, then it will always lead to emptiness. We were created to worship and to fellowship with God. And when our purpose becomes anything less than that, it is empty. It is empty. I like sports. I watch them play hockey for a season and then battle it out for a Stanley Cup, and then the blood and the pain and all those things, they lift that cup, and then in October it resets and it's like you never won. I mean, it has to be empty. It really does. And the reality is that we were designed to worship the Lord and to fellowship with Him. And that is what satisfies our heart. Tom Brady How many people know who Tom Brady is? Tom Brady, quarterback who led the New England Patriots to victory in 3 Super Bowls, told 60 Minutes. He was in an interview with 60 Minutes. And he said, "Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me?" I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, "Hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. Me, I think it's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be." And the interviewer said, "Well, what's the answer, Tom?" And to which Tom Brady replied, "I wish I knew. I wish I knew." Well, I know the answer. And the answer is not things, it's a person, and it's Christ. He is the water that will satisfy so we never thirst again. He is the living bread so we will not hunger. He is the fountain of life. He is the water in a desert land. And he has to be our purpose in our life. He has to be our heart's desire. So we see this man's flawed decision. But then we see the Lord's forthright declaration. In verse 20, he says this, "Thou fool." And any time that things become our God, listen, any time something temporal is placed in a spot that only that which is eternal should be, is absolutely foolish. And God said, "Thou fool." He was foolish in his purpose of life. He was foolish in his aim. He was foolish in what he thought was success, what he thought was the way to satisfaction. And so we see God's forthright declaration in verse 20, and we see the Lord's final description in verse 20. The Bible says, "Who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Where's your purpose now? Where's your things now? All of the labors and all of the work and all of the things that you were building and creating, and now they are all gone. Gone. Wasted resources, wasted life, regrets. This is the life of a selfish man. We see the Lord's fascinating demonstration. Look what the Bible says in verse 21. It says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now the lesson that Jesus gives here is not focused on the unsaved. It's actually focused on the Christian. And he's saying, listen, if you live your life in a selfish way, if you live your life for self, if you live your life for this world, I understand, listen, I understand we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And our conversation is not on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so we have to have an eternal perspective. It is foolish for someone to live with any other goal in their life than the Lord. Than the Lord. The life of the selfish. You know, we could have gone to several passages of Scripture to illustrate this, by the way. We could have talked about Lot. We could have talked about Noah and the days of Noah when people were, you know, eating and drinking and being merry and there was judgment around the corner, but they weren't concerned about God. They weren't looking to God. And the life of a selfish life is one that takes our attention away from the things which are spiritual and eternal. All right, so that's the selfish life, but what about the satisfying life? Well, let's look at our text here, Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. The Bible says, "And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you," now he's focusing his attention here on a life of satisfaction. Remember, he talked about this selfish life and illustrated the life of covetousness, more. And now he's focusing his attention to the disciples. And he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do the thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Now, before we get into this scripture, I want to talk about what this scripture does not teach. This does not teach being unprepared. And this does not teach being careless. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about faith, trusting God. And we looked at the life of the selfish person, the covetous, all about them, grab and store up because it's all about them. But let's look at the life of the one that's truly satisfied. The one that's truly satisfied is not looking to things, but looking to God. And do you know what I find in the Christian life is that when we don't look to things, we look to God, we just get things because God blesses us with those things. Even when they're not our goal, they still become a blessing. And so we see in this scripture, that's what the Lord's talking about. That's his focus here. His focus is put me first. You don't have to worry about the things that you eat, or you don't have to worry about the things you wear. I'm going to take care of those things. I'm going to provide those things because your life is more than just meat, and your life is more than your clothing. And then he uses the illustration, just consider the ravens. He says, consider the lilies. Consider how they don't build bigger barns, but they're provided for. And he says, have faith to believe that I can meet your needs. That's what God is saying, that God will supply. And the one who is satisfied, their needs are supplied by God. They're supplied by God. Now, you might not have millions of dollars in the bank tonight, but your needs are taken care of. And God has given us our needs and more. This is definitely the blessings of the Lord. Verse 24 says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. Now, here's the principle here, is that God is working in the background to feed the ravens. And they're not planting a garden, they're just taking it from my bird feeder. their needs are being met. God is meeting those needs. And so we see the work of God's people. You say, what's the work of God's people? It's trust God, have faith in God. Trust that God can meet the needs. The just or the justified shall live by faith. But then look at this. There's also the waste of worrying. Verse 25, and which of you, which taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? You can't grow by worrying. You can't change your circumstances by worrying. What does worry do? The other day, I think it was yesterday, the day before, someone was talking to me about the financial state of our country, and they said, it's not good. And I said, I'm just trusting the Lord. Can't do anything about it anyway. I'm just trusting the Lord. And, I mean, we have faith to believe that God will meet our needs. And that, listen, I'm not saying that we're always going to have it easy. Paul says, I know how to abound and know how to be abased. But one thing's for sure is that God's going to meet our needs. God's going to take care of us. And so there's no point of worrying, spending countless nights worrying over those things. And so we see that which is supplied, but also we see that which must be sought. In verse 29, the Bible says, don't seek possessions. And the Bible says in verse 29, don't have a doubtful mind. Do not seek for proof. Don't be a doubter. The Bible says in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 28, for then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. But remember, we're not of the world. And yes, as Jesus spoke in Matthew, I believe Matthew 7, to the Jews, he said, all the Gentiles seek after possessions and things and build their bigger barns, but you're not like them. You have to have faith in me and trust me. And so the Bible says that we don't seek after those things. We know that our Father knoweth that we have need of those things. And so what is the answer? We seek after God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these things. What are the things? The things are the needs we have will be added unto you. The selfish life is the pursuit for things and riches. And the godly life is a pursuit for Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have things. But it does mean it's not your pursuit. And the Bible says that we are not to seek those things. We are to seek the Lord and his plan. And as we seek the Lord and his plan for our life, then that seeking reveals our priorities. Look what the Bible says in verse 34. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so your pursuit will reveal your priorities in your life, because what is important to you, your treasure, will reveal your heart. And so the seeking is shown in our priorities, but this seeking is also shown in our preparations. Look what the Bible says in verse 37 now. It says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit to meet and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. There's preparation, there's ready for the master to come. And so two different perceptions here. Two different ways to live life, two different point of views, two different perceptions, worldviews. The selfish life is pursuing things, and the satisfied life is pursuing Christ. And the Bible teaches us that the way of faith or the satisfied life or the pursuit of Christ is where fulfillment is found. And that's the pursuit of our life. That's the direction of our life. Now, anytime someone preaches a message like that, you say, well, you can't have ambition for work. You can't. Listen, that's not the message. The message is your pursuit. What are you giving yourself to? And we want to make sure that we are pursuing the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the evening that you've given to